Hello, hello. Welcome through the wire. I'm here with Carr Dillon, founding partner of Paladin Partners. Yeah, so, Carr, tell us about Paladin.
We're a startup team for hire. We execute your dreams from idea to reality. And what we've done is we've kind of put together a team of 11 operators all over the world. We're based out of Estonia, Portugal, Korea, California, a few other places. But that and our partners, what we do is we take, like, if you have an idea and you aren't sure exactly how to take it to market, we can take you from any stage in the development process of that startup and like take your company and help push it to the next level.
Interesting. So you guys work with mostly early stage companies?
In our experience so far, we've worked with early stage, but we can pretty much hop in anywhere in the process of a company's growth.
Why don't you tell a little about your story of how Paladin came to be?
Well, Paladin, okay, so Paladin started, my co-founder is Luke Kim.
Yeah.
I was doing marketing for a European accelerator called the European Innovation Academy in Italy, I think in 2017. The summer of 2017, my co-founder Luke, he came to me for like a, he visited for like a day. He was running marketing for their
That's Portugal Luke program. Kim, right?
Luke Kim, yeah. He was running marketing for their Portugal program. He visited me for a day. He had just offboarded from his existing positions in a few other companies. And he said, like, hey, let's start a company. I'm not doing anything right now. Like, I want to found a company. Let's just do it. And I didn't really hesitate. I went straight into it. I was like, okay, look, let's just see what we can do. Anyway, from there, we spent the next whole month kind of hackathoning every night, doing marketing for the European Innovation Academy during the day, at night figuring out our website, our advisors, our partners, bringing on different people that had expertise so that we could deliver what we wanted. And we struggled, really. We struggled to find an idea for ourselves. We were like, okay, we're doing a company, we're doing a startup, but we have no, what would our MVP be? And what we landed on is, like, we know how to create a startup, but we didn't have a specific product. So instead of creating our own product, what we did was we decided to help other people create their products, or so we thought. So that's kind of how we originated. Then we spent the whole next month. Then I visited him in Portugal, actually, for 10 days. And we were in this, like, tiny little shoebox apartment. It literally looked like a closet. There was, like, the space of, like, a twin bed. And then Luke was, like, sleeping on the floor. Like, I had this bed. And that's about the space that we had. And every day we'd wake up super early, commute like an hour to work, come back at like 6 p.m., work for the rest of the night. And that we brought together our like technical director. We found him at the European Innovation Academy. He was actually an advisor over there. Our creative director at that time, Johannes, he had just won like the IF Design Award, and he was like a world-class designer. So we brought him on board. And then we signed on some major advisors to help us kind of give us a little bit of direction. Mm-hmm. We brought on like Ken Singer. He's the managing director for the entrepreneurship department at Berkeley. Mike Kirico, he's a professor or lecturer at Stanford. A few people of that stature. And then we just we started trying to find the first startup that would let us help bring their idea to reality.
Excellent. So, I mean, what I'm hearing from that, and I'm sure everyone in the audience is thinking as well, is, you know, these guys have, you know, you work all over the globe. You have partners in Korea, and you work for the European Innovation Fund.
It's the European Innovation Academy. So what they are is they're like an accelerator that has, I think, they're in four or five different cities. And they do it mostly, it's like a summer accelerator for people that are kind of newer to the startup scene.
Mm-hmm. So maybe for someone listening, you know, you've seen this culture and you're building, you know, a great culture and camaraderie of your own. Someone who is interested in starting their own company, you know, you kind of leapt into it. What advice would you give to a person interested or with entrepreneurial dreams?
I would just say that you shouldn't, the only thing that I think it takes is grit and the ability not to quit. Right. If you can keep going and realize that you're going to fail, I mean, this is like something that everyone says, right? But really, you fail and you go through really tough times. If you can keep pushing past those times and keep the team together, I think the most important factor in a startup is being able to keep your team and the group that you create together. Because when a startup fails, I don't think it's usually the product or what the startup is even selling. It's when there's internal conflict. And so if you can keep those people together and keep them pushing forward, edging a little bit more every day through the failures, I think that's what it takes.
So it sounds like you know, the team is very important to you, and like we talked about culture. So how would you go about building, you know, a strong team, you know, with great chemistry? How have you done it, at least?
They say that you should never do business with friends. There might be some truth in that, because it does get really tough and you don't want to lose your friends. But I think the best way to build a company or organization that lasts is actually to have strong relationships with the people already. Like, you have to have gone through some shit with these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before, and you have to know you can trust them. When things get tough, which they will, you have to know that, like, the people will have your back. I think that's what it is. And so working with people that have track records of success, that's like one factor, but also people that are just trustworthy. I think that's the main thing, because most people can grow into the position or into whatever they need to fulfill their role. But if they're trustworthy, I think that's the main thing.
Uh-huh.
If they're your friends to start off with.
That's excellent. Yeah, just having those close bonds, it's like a brotherhood.
Exactly. It's kind of, yeah, it is a little bit like a brotherhood. I think we need to get some females in our startup thing. In
Paladin Women can be well. In a brotherhood as well.
Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't have to be dudes. They're better when it's with women as well.
I need a balance.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important. So, what did Carr Dillon do when he was 12 years old?
12 years old?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I think I was still in middle school. I think I was failing out of my classes at that time. Like, I used to be like, I went from being like the top student, and then my parents had some family issues, right? And then I went to like the bottom of my class, but I was still like acing all my tests, getting like hitting like really high marks in there, but I was failing in like the responsibility aspect. I was a bit of a rebellious kid, I think. I would get in a lot of trouble here and there. I don't know if I want to go into that right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't ask you to. So, but you've been able to kind of motivate yourself and, you know, bring yourself up into, you know, this successful person.
I'd say I'm still on the way to success. I wouldn't say I'm successful now. I'm successful in that, like, I haven't quit, and I really enjoy what I'm doing. I'm passionate about the projects I'm working on, and I really like the people that I've brought together, the circle that I have now, I cherish and love every single one of them. That's what's important to me, and that I'm working on cool things.
That's amazing. Yeah, well, so we're at the Data AI Summit in Mountain View, California. Carr, nice to see you.
Thank you.